This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, you're listening to Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. I've got with me today Brent Owens, who's just back on the ground after his first ever test flight in an RV-8, the plane he built. Brent, welcome home. We're glad you're down and safe. How was it?
Well, Glenn, thanks. And I couldn't be any more excited. I mean, it went perfect. Just, you know, everything worked as advertised, no surprises, which is exactly what I was hoping for, but was, you know, probably realistic in that something was going to go wrong. And about the only thing I can come up with is the old door popped open, which wasn't a big deal at all. But yeah, it went great. Really, really good.
Oh, at what point in the flight did the oil door come open?
Oh, takeoff, of course. So so as soon as I got going, this thing pops up into the breeze. And luckily, I'd read, you know, the power of the internet, but I'd read that this happened to other folks and without much, you know, fanfare. So I just kept going. I wasn't planning on going out to V&E or anything today anyway, just a shakedown flight, 30 minutes. So just kept plowing, and the old door seems happy. It didn't cause any stress at all.
So it held in position. It didn't flap around. It just held solid?
No, it just stood straight up.
Well, how was everything before the flight? Take us through it a little bit.
Well, I got out there. It was, you know, I picked the morning for conditions, and so and I wasn't disappointed. It was nice, high overcast, so no sun or glare or anything to worry about. It's a polished airplane, so that can be a little bit of an issue. But everybody showed up, and the folks that I had invited out there all came out, and we did a briefing and talked about some of the things pertinent to the flight, and then basically it was time to saddle up. So that was it. Taxied, cranked it up, started no problems, taxied out, let it warm up, did the run up, and literally, and this went through my head, I literally said, well, I guess there's nothing else left to do but go out there and push this big black handle forward. And so that's indeed what I did. And it was really neat because the conditions this morning were such that I got a little bit of that condensation off the prop. So when I stabbed the throttle to it, it kind of gave me that smoke kind of thing. But I had all these people on the ground, and no, you know, nothing was coming from the airplane. It was coming from the prop, and it was kind of cool visual. But yeah, the tail came up right away down the runway, maybe 350 feet because it had very little fuel on it, and I don't weigh a lot. And so off the ground, climbing like a homesick angel, my chase plane, an RV-4, took off, delayed takeoff behind me in case I needed to do an emergency return or something. So, but when he got ready to go, I mean, he was playing catch up big time to get up to 4,000 with me. So, but boy, the takeoff was exhilarating, say the least.
When you were up there by yourself at 4,000 waiting for him, what was that like?
It was good. You know, at that point, I kind of had a chance to start breathing again and actually look around at what was in front of me. The EFIS systems has audio alerts for everything, so I knew everything was, you know, fairly close. But it was nice and rewarding to see that all the systems looked fairly cool. I wasn't having to hold, you know, mammoth amount of pressure on the stick and pitch or roll, and it was the rudder was right down the center. It does have a little bit of a left wing heavy, but it's very light. I mean, it'll be real easy to trim out. So that was good. You know, no controllability issues, because I basically, when I got to 1,000 feet, I started to turn. Everything was rock solid. I started to turn to just stay over the field, and everything was working swimmingly. And so at 4,000 feet, and Rick climb up to me, and I was in a turn because I was trying to sort of stay over the airport, which wasn't necessarily easy because it was cruising pretty good. You know, it went right out to 660, 70 mile an hour, even with the power back. So, and I didn't want to go much more than that with the oil door. Didn't want it to depart. So orbiting and letting him come up, and he joined right up in my wing. He's a ex-Air Force and flies a lot of formation in his RV. So he was a really qualified guy to have with me out there flying up close. So he came up and tucked under my wing and checked me over, you know, nothing coming out of the bottom that would be alarming, no big blue streaks, which would be really alarming, and no oil, nothing like that, no smoke. It looked good. And he could see my controls in the tail and, you know, kind of see if anything was flapping or out of tolerances or something weird. So that gave me a good look over, and then we just flew around, really, just turning over the airport. And then I slowed down I don't know, about 15 minutes into the flight, slowed down, approached the stall to get an idea of what the airspeed was doing. I was flying next to the four. So he was giving me airspeed readouts, and I was about 5 knots over what his number was. So I'd probably do have a little bit of a calibration to do, because he just had his airplane calibrated. He knows his airspeed's good. But slowed down to the burble for the stall, no big deal. At 65 miles an hour indicated, which my airplane's running, it's showing fast, so that's probably actually closer to 70, but with flaps up. So the rest of the flight, pretty basic. Went ahead and descended down into the pattern, and this is a small country airport, nobody around, so that there was never any concern about traffic, but I'm calling out on the radio. Enter a normal pattern, a normal traffic pattern, gave myself a lot of room. It was probably a nice B-52 size pattern, but I didn't want to mess up the approach and obviously the landing. So, but it just went great.
So no bounce, no nothing. You got it in the way you wanted to get it in?
I did. I didn't bounce. I would call it a skip. I felt it like it got a little bit light off the wheels after it touched the first time. When I've looked at the video since then, I can't really see that it bounced. So yeah, it must have just skipped a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't be happier with the landing, because in terms of this whole thing, really, as I distill it down in my head, the takeoff, I'm worried about the airplane. I need the airplane to do its job to get me up and out of there. For the landing, the airplane's sort of done its job. It's up to me to get it back. And that's sort of how I characterize it. So now it's, you know, that's how it felt. And I was, you know, that was part I was probably the most nervous about, was just making a decent landing. Of course, I've got a cast of folks that are watching too, so that always helps. And, but yeah, I made it in, you know, customary, you know, slightly long landing, which I wouldn't have wanted to drug it in over the numbers anyway. And rolled out and didn't take out any runway lights, and the airplane's usable again. So that's all good.
So you brought it back. You have a hangar there, or what do you have?
I got a hangar there, T hangar. So put it, taxi back up to the hangar and shut it off, and, you know, did the congratulations with all my friends that were there and such, and just to debrief the flight, and that was it. I did pull the cowling off after the flight. You know, of course, I crawled under it about as soon as I got out of the airplane to look under it, and no oil of any consequence. And pulled the cow and rewarded with the same thing. I mean, it looks like she's fairly oil free. A couple sips, seats here and there, but kind of normal. And then nothing else. I really got to work on other than that darn oil door.
when you hopped out, how were your knees? Did you feel it?
Definitely. When I taxied off, I felt it. You know, I was bouncing off the pedals just a little bit. And by the time I shut down and got out, I was starting to calm back down a little bit, but the landing, that was probably, I probably didn't blink for a good minute and a half there, you know, just really focusing on trying to make it work out. So, and the airplane is just a sweetheart. It's not anything to be concerned about. It flies real good. And in fact, an RV4 friend of mine that was there was asking me about it, you know, and I'd flown the four as well. And he said, you know, that I think you could hop in the four, out of the four and into the eight without, you know, really any fanfare. It'd be pretty basic, so, for him.
Now, you and I spoke about 10 years ago, maybe, and I remember you saying, talking about my airplane, my home built, and saying you were a little jealous of that. I found that a little bit weird at the time, because you were flying the Citation 10, but does this answer that jealousy for you, do you think?
Yeah, this is scratching that itch, you know, that when I fly on those corporate airplanes is fun, but you know, someone else is telling you when to go and where to go, and obviously the kind of flying is different. I mean, it's fun to shoot an approach to minimums, and it's fun to track people down on the TCAS, you know, at 0.92 and the 10. But, you know, that wears off pretty quick, and this kind of flying is really, you know, this is how I started, and this is how I want to end. You know, I want to stay flying this kind of stuff, and just go out and have fun, and the camaraderie and all the things that go with it are, you know, it's a great, great sport.
We've been speaking with Brent Owens down safe after the very first, the only maiden flight of the RV8 he built with his own two hands. I'm Glenn Pugh for avweb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.